Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we have Josh Henkin, founder of the Ultimate Sandbag Training Solution, or Revolution, depending on what you want to call it. I have actually known Josh for, I think I was connected to him from Valerie Waters, who we've also interviewed on this show 5 or 6 years ago, right when I had founded Fitfluential, and he sent me one of his Ultimate Sandbag training systems, and I remember being very skeptical. I actually talk about that in this interview, but ended up getting my butt kicked by this style of training, functional training, if you will, and also this ridiculously flexible piece of equipment that you kind of look at it and you're like, oh, that's awesome. You know, it's a sandbag, but you might think, it's one of those tools I'm not going to be able to get as much out of. Don't be fooled. I can say this, and I've talked about this on my personal blog and social media channels for years. We've also featured a lot of this on Fitfluential channels as well. This is probably, I would say, in the top three pieces of equipment and style of training as well that I would recommend for everybody. It will kick your butt. It is challenging. It will help you through injury. It's going to just make you function better. And that's what Josh talks a lot about in this interview, is how this style of training, this functional training, it actually cuts down on the amount of time you'll spend training because you get more bang for your buck. That's probably a good way to summarize it. Just to tell you a little bit about Josh before we dive into the interview, Josh founded the Ultimate Sandbag Training back in 2005. And this is a quote from the website. It says, "The Ultimate Sandbag and Dynamic Variable Resistance Training System were born in 2005. For the first time, a training tool and program weren't created for better training in the gym, but rather for elevating what people did in life and sport, the real world." So while we do, I want to let you guys know, you know, sometimes we have guests on the show where we will talk about their product. In this case, you're going to learn a lot about functional training and movement and why it's important, why it's different. And yeah, we're going to talk about his product because I honestly don't know anybody that has not fallen in love with this product once they've gotten it. Like it's a game changer. And it's one of those things that if you want to develop a solid home gym, it's one of the probably top three pieces of equipment. I'd say if you don't want to spend a ton of money, if you don't want to spend a ton of time, this should be in your top three, and it can travel with you. It's just an amazing tool. Josh is an amazing, very passionate individual who genuinely cares about helping people get healthy and avoid injury. And then if you do get injured, how to get better from injury. So I know you're going to love this interview. Josh is an amazing guy. Tune in. And again, if you would like to let us know what your questions are after hearing this interview, make sure you ping us over on fitfluentialradio.com. We'll definitely be having Josh back on the show and hoping to get him active on some of our other channels, Facebook, fitfluential.com as well. So we will talk to you next time. Enjoy the interview.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today, super stoked to have a dear friend of mine who I've known forever, who I have idolized from afar for quite a while because he's a total badass, Josh Henkin, founder of the Ultimate Sandbag Organization, company, whatever, movement. And he is, you're going to be so fired up after you hear this interview because not only is Josh an amazing individual, but once you start training with a sandbag, the Ultimate Sandbag, you will change your life, change your training, and probably just change how you feel. You're going to feel better when you start training with this. I was blown away when I first got mine. And and I am obsessed with this kind of training. I've talked about it on my blog forever. But Josh, super excited, obviously, you can tell, to have you on the show. So I am going to dive right in. We talked about you in the intro. I gave folks a little bit of information about your company. But one of the things I like to do when I have guests on the show for the first time, because I've known you for 5 or 6 years, and so many people are going to be hearing about you and the Ultimate Sandbag for the first time today. So my question for you is, how did you first get interested just in fitness for yourself personally in general? Like, when did that start for you? Was it something you'd always been interested in from a young age? Was it more recent? How did that start for you and why? What was your inspiration?
Well, thanks, Kai. I really appreciate it. We need to get you some newer people to idolize from afar. But, I'll try to give you the Cliff Notes version. I haven't told a lot of people this story, but basically when I was about 5, my mother got diagnosed with leukemia. And so my dad was working a lot, and she was in and out of the hospitals, and she passed away when I was 8 years old. And so I think my brothers and my dad continued just working because he was basically a single dad and trying to raise 3 boys. We sort of delved into food a lot to deal with, you know, the grief and so forth. So, between being kind of a tall, awkward young person and using food as a kind of an emotional hitch from a very early age, I was kind of overweight and awkward, and it was just very uncomfortable. I remember kids in school would call me, you know, the cartoon character Baby Huey. It was kind of an accurate depiction of me at the time. And then around age 13, my dad remarried a woman who was a very strong woman. Both my moms were very strong women. And she was the first one to actually introduce me to, like, trying to take care of myself and being physically active. And, you know, funny enough to look back, when I was about 13, she would take me to the mall with her, like, you know, like we think of older people, and just get me walking, you know, because basically I had no confidence. I didn't really, you know, I was so awkward and, you know, self-conscious at the time. So that was sort of spawned things. And, you know, I would then ask her to drop me off, and I would do that to myself. And just seeing positive changes and seeing how that reacted to other kids was something that definitely got my interest in fitness. And then I went through a series of injuries when I was 14, herniating discs in my lumbar spine, that definitely then again gave me more inspiration to, you know, first and foremost, learn how to take care of myself.
That's, you know, there's a couple things you just said there. Number one, I think of myself when I was 11 or 13, and, you know, I still consider myself very awkward at age 48 in multiple ways, but I have such a passion for, in the future, us reaching kids, you know, and I feel like kids today, that's a horrible way to say it, kids today, I sound like, you know, like an old, a crabby old man or something, but kids today, they're so not exposed, I think, proactively to a healthy, get out there, get active lifestyle. Instead, they're given a tablet, they're given a phone, and they spend so much time inside, avoiding light. We talk about this a lot on the show, you know, hunched over a tablet, and they don't seem healthy. And I think about those awkward years, right? We're all awkward when we're in junior high and high school. And then you add to it that maybe you're weak and you don't feel good and you're not healthy. And it sounds like you, we've actually had several people on the show. Di Manuel was one of them. I can think of 3 or 4 other interviews that we did where folks found fitness at a young age, and all of a sudden, you know, they felt empowered. So just as a side note, as I'm hearing you talk about that, I'm like, what can we do? And I'll have to have a sidebar with you after about it. What can we do when we work with companies like you guys so that we can reach more kids and get them active and get them feeling better about themselves? And, you know, it's got to make that awkward time period better. I'm just curious. I wasn't planning to ask you that, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you anyway. Do you guys tend to, with Ultimate Sandbag Training, do you work with kids currently when in any of the training that you do? And I'm assuming, I mean, I'm looking at your website, I see 2 adorable little girls holding sandbags. Do you guys focus on training younger individuals or no?
We do. In fact, you know, when I had my training facility, I ran a special program for obese kids about that, you know, preteen age group. And I learned a couple of valuable lessons in working with them, because also my background is in physical education. So I also understand it from a child development and educational standpoint, how to, you know, what's going on with children. You know, I think first and foremost, people have to understand the number one reason. I mean, kids in some ways aren't very different from adults. So when Johnny doesn't want to participate in PE or physical activity, it's really no different than an adult, because really what they're afraid of is looking stupid in front of their friends or peers. Sure. And so it's a self-defense mechanism just not to do anything if you feel like you're not going to do it well and you're going to be made fun of. So they basically shut down. And so if I don't try, you can't make fun of me. So you have to find environments and things that they're going to instantly be successful in. And yeah, we do actually consult with programs and school programs that try to, you know, lead people into the direction where they can make physical activity both fun and something that they're successful in, because any of us that are successful at something are going to be more apt to do it. Most of us don't like failing time and time again. So, you know, it's one of those things. And then secondly, honestly, you know, I used to talk to so many parents. It's especially that age, when you're talking maybe 17, 18 and up, you're talking about people that are a little bit more grown, can make a little bit more on their own decisions. But below that, I, you know, parents don't like hearing this. It's up to the parents. They dictate a lot of what the food is in the house, what's available to the kids, boundaries with technology, things like that. I do have to commend my dad. Like he would put limits on a lot of that stuff. And so we were forced to then find other things to do. So, you know, I remember my favorite story to tell is I trained a woman and her son independently. And one day the woman's talking to me and she's like, oh, the ice cream's just killing me in the house. The ice cream's in the house. I said, well, get rid of the ice cream then. And she's like, I can't, you know, my son loves it. And her son at the time was about 15, and he walked up and he's like, what are you guys talking about? And I told him, and he goes, oh, I don't care if you get rid of the ice cream. So she was so sold out. She gave him the look of death. Like, you're grounded now.
That's so true. Yeah. It's you see it so often. You know, oh, I get this for the kids. And it's like, no, I mean, sometimes I've been surprised, like my nieces, they actually really, when I was growing up, like my mom never, and I'm not saying this to say anything bad about my mom. She cooked a lot of home meals for us, but she never made salads. Like, we didn't have air quotes healthy food. But, you know, my nieces, like, they love salads. They don't tend to go towards junk food or whatever. So all of that can be changed. And yeah, it is up to the parents. I just on a total sidebar, I think of my life in those awkward years, and gosh, they were so awkward. I'm so glad social media was not around.
Oh, God.
When I was in junior high, I'm so glad I didn't have a smartphone, because I mean, the braces and everything. But when we had gym and we did like gymnastics, you know, I'm about as agile as a lump of clay, as one of your sandbags by itself. Like, that's me. And they'd say, you know, go up to the, what's the horse, you know, and flip over it. And I would just run up to it and like run into it and fall flat on the mat. And it was always, I hated it. They never did anything fun. So I think there's obviously, we'll talk about that another show, and we'll talk about that in the future. I like I said, I really have a feel for all these kids that are just not feeling healthy, looking healthy. They don't have a good example at home. We've got to be able to get out there and show them fitness can be so empowering. Taking control of your health can be so empowering. And it just, I mean, heck, that's why the name of my company is Fitfluential. So we're going to make that happen. That's a total sidebar. We'll talk about that later.
Look, but I just made one thing that just reminded me of.
Yeah.
There's a famous cartoon, and maybe I should repost it again, where there's a parent yelling at their child to stand up straight. And the irony of the cartoon is that the parent is hunched over. So you're very right that it starts with the example we set forth. And sometimes it makes us look at our own actions, activities, and go, am I setting the best example for those that want to follow? And how do I ask my child to do something I'm not doing myself?
Mm-hmm. I mean, ultimately, we can... I know that my parents taught me well growing up, but now... quite often they're asking me, you know, I mean, I work with my dad on posture. My dad's 81, and he's, most people that see him are like, oh, your dad's 81? What? But I'm like, yeah, dad, you really need to work on your posture. Like, don't turn into that guy who's hunched over, and he's had a leg injury. And actually that's That's interesting. You know, I'm bringing up injury. That was the other thing. When you were answering my first question, you talked about injury. And as I'm looking at ultimatesandbagtraining.com, your website, and I look at your About Us page, I was preparing for our interview, wanted to see if I could have some specific questions. But there's this one paragraph, and it says, the Ultimate Sandbag and Dynamic Variable Resistance Training System, DVRT, was born in 2005. For the first time, a training tool and program weren't created for better training in the gym, but rather for elevating what people did in life and sport, the real world. So this is segueing into a twofold question for you. When you and I talked before we got on here and started recording, we talked about injury and how you initially developed this Ultimate Sandbag training system for injury, if I'm correct, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. But it also, as you started down that path, then you've realized that this is, like the paragraph I just read, this is created not just for better training in the gym, but for elevating what people do in real life. There's a lot of folks that are listening here that this is their first exposure to sandbag training, to Ultimate Sandbag Training in your systems. So my first question to you is, how does, maybe you could start off by, before we get into injury and how it can help folks with injury, what is this kind of training? Do you call it functional training? Do you call it metabolic training? Like, I know what it is because you sent me a sandbag and I tried it and I got it and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it changed my world. But I know from experience, for those people that are only used to getting on a treadmill or step workouts or going to the gym and doing isolation training with machines, what is this? What do you call it and how do you describe it?
You know, the best description is probably calling functional training, which, you know, the problem becomes that this is another buzzword in fitness that people use mm-hmm. and don't really understand. And it's actually not all that complicated if I break it down pretty simply. So, you know, it became basically a term in the late 90s that a lot of therapists were using because therapists started to understand that there was a gap between what they were trying to do and making people heal and be better in movement in everyday life. And then what we would all do in the gym for fitness or strength training. They were almost like two completely different things because the way a therapist sort of approaches the body is trying to find out where the dysfunction occurs and then how to fix that dysfunction. And then in the gym, we just train muscles. I give the analogy that I know nothing about cars. Like, I know you put gas in them and I know you either press the button to turn them on or turn the key to turn them on. Right. So if you bring me your car and you say, Josh, my car doesn't work, I will put gas in it or I will try to turn it on with the ignition. That might work, but that's kind of a shotgun approach. And, you know, a lot of times it won't work. But that's how people try to approach their training. They really don't know what they're trying to accomplish, how to accomplish it. And so they take a pretty much shotgun approach to it where we end up just seeing how badly can we beat ourselves up. And we take that as good training. So the idea of functional training really, if you just break down the term, is this to improve the function of the body. The challenge with that is, unfortunately, most of us are not very educated on how the body actually works. Like, we all have one, but most of us aren't explained to, like, how does our body actually work? And you know, the bad thing about approaching it from the standpoint of, hey, I'm just going to train my biceps today, I'm going to just train my quads today, and so forth, which we all started with in fitness one form or another, is really bodybuilding, and it's a really inefficient way of training, and it doesn't carry over to how our body performs in real life and or sport. And so what ends up happening is we have this disconnect from our body. And that's why you see a lot of times people that look very fit, but they're, like you sort of mentioned, they're sort of awkward and don't feel well, and they're actually not healthy. And so the idea with functional training is not to only make you feel good, but it's also a more efficient way of training. And I remember I had a client who once asked me why we train the way we train, and he was a business person. I said, Brad, I said, if I can make you $1 million in 1 year or $1 million in 20 years, which one would you prefer? You'll still get $1 million. And he's like, well, I'd love $1 million in 1 year. I said, that's what we're trying to do with this style of training. We're trying to make it more efficient where your results come much faster. And so it makes sense if you try to train or use something as it's designed, it makes sense that it would have a better outcome, right? Unfortunately, most of our fitness programs go against how our body is designed to move, and we just beat the crap out of it, if you will. And then we wonder why we're not achieving the results we want, even though we're dedicating time to it or we're working hard and so forth. So one of the core concepts we try to do is educate people on how, at a very baseline level, how their body works and then why these exercises work so well. Because people often think, like, we do magic tricks because all of a sudden we show them the exercise, they move better, they feel better, they're stronger. And they're like, how'd that happen? It must be magic. I'm like, it's not magic. It's just trying to show you how your body actually works. And when you go with how your body works, the results really are that crazy fast.
It's pretty incredible. I mean, as you're explaining it, I'm thinking of, you know, yeah, if you look at it really simplistically, if you look at bodybuilders, you know, I'm embarrassed. I dated a bodybuilder. Not that this is not to cut on all bodybuilders. I don't want anybody writing me a nasty letter. But I just, when I think of this particular bodybuilder, I think he was wider than he was taller at the time. And I remember, like, just looking at him, I'm like, I feel like I'm dating the Incredible Hulk, but he could not, he'd gotten so big. And you know, that's not why I was attracted to him, was his physique, but because I remember he couldn't even lift his arm to scratch his back. And he would joke about it. Like, his traps were so overdeveloped. He's like, oh, look how funny it is. You know, I can't even reach my back. I'm like, that's not cool. That's stupid. You can't function. And somebody had said for a while, you know, when fitness competitors are working and training their body, it's for how those muscles and the physique looks on stage, with the exception of maybe that fitness category where they're jumping around and doing those routines. But it's not about how it functions, right? And so I think of all the training I do. And when you work really hard and say, I've done this, I go back to training after I've been injured for a while, and I overdo it, you know, and I'm doing, I do a lot of isolation training, Josh. It's a problem that I always tend to go back and want to do too much isolation training, and I can go too heavy. And, you know, then you're pulling, a one arm row, and I pull too much, and then I'm injuring that part of my back because I'm not like, when do you ever do a one arm row in life? Now that I'm truly, literally saying this out loud, because that's what I was thinking as you were saying this, and I've never thought about that before. When you're doing an overhead press, one arm, when do you ever do that in life? That is not the way that we move. And I think about your types of training and what you teach with your Ultimate Sandbag training systems is much more about the whole body. Would you say that all of the moves that you do, and you can do so many of them, we're going to get into that in a second, with your Ultimate Sandbag solution, I call it a million different things, solution training system.
I like that.
Does everything use your whole body? I mean, you know, I'm going to let you answer that in 2 seconds. Let me tell everyone that's listening. Coming from Kelly Alexa, who loves her isolation training, I started following a lot of fitness competitors. That's how I got into lifting weights. When Josh sent me my first Ultimate Sandbag, my first Ultimate Sandbag, and I looked at it, I'm like, how in the hell is this going to work? I'm not going to lie, Josh, that's what I thought. Yeah, I went to YouTube and I saw some of the videos. I'm like, okay, I'll do this. And I went out in my garage and I started doing some of the lunges, and then I did the overhead, all these different compound moves. And I was blown away by how humbling it was, how hard it was, how I could actually really feel my muscles working, but it freaking got my heart rate up. So I'm getting this amazing sweat fest. And if you guys look on my blog for the past couple of years, I've actually done a couple tests where I tested Ultimate Sandbag, kettlebell, and muscle ropes. And Ultimate Sandbag got my heart rate up so high. And I think you have some statistics on this as well. I want you to share that in your answer. But it is an intense way to train. And if you're like me and you're miss, I just go to the gym, I just want to do the things I've always done, I don't try anything new, don't be as skeptical as I was, because this will like kick your ass. So then, back to my first question, Josh, and make sure you end with some of those quotes about, I think you guys have done some testing, but does this type of training, when you're doing all these moves, is it using, you know, like your whole body on all of these moves?
I mean, the simple answer is yes, but I want to sort of touch on this, a couple of things you said, because they're very important.
Good.
You know, I think one of the things that keeps people from doing this style of training is they don't believe it's going to work as well, because we're taught that, like, if I want nice arms, my arms got burned when I work out. Like, they got, like, be on fire, right? I got feel the burn, which is ironic, because you mentioned, as you were talking, like, fitness competitors. And if you look at a lot of fitness competitors, they have background usually in gymnastics. Mm-hmm. And when was the last, and how many, would you say gymnasts usually have pretty nice looking bodies, both male and female, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when did the gymnasts just do their triceps?
Oh, true.
Or when did they just do their quads? You know, again, if we look at a Serena Williams or a lot of these athletes, you know, a lot of these female athletes, they tend to do more functional based training because they want performance benefits too. But if you look at them physically, they're very, very fit looking and very, you know, lean and so forth. So my point is, I think there's a little lack of trust. You know, a friend of mine who's done bodybuilding, and I started and laughed inside when you said, you know, nothing is bodybuilders. Like, we feel like we have to preface this. You know, he's like, you know, basically bodybuilding and a lot of fitness stuff, it's who's the best dieter. Yeah, they train hard and they do hard stuff, but it's the nutrition's the biggest part. And that's why you see some, and then, of course, we won't mention drugs. But anyways.
There's none of that. I don't know what you're talking about.
None of that. But kind of my point is this too, like, we were at an outlet by our house, and my wife's still a little, she's a physical therapist, and she's a little naive what happens in fitness. And you know, there's the Olympia is in Vegas, and we live in Vegas now. And so we're at the outlet, and there's, you know, a bunch of bodybuilders and fitness competitors, and one woman's walking by who's obviously a fitness competitor, and she's smoking a cigarette. And she goes, gosh, did you see she's smoking a cigarette? What? How is she smoking a cigarette? She's a fitness competitor. I go, yeah, she's probably trying to keep her cravings down, so she doesn't want to eat. I go, so my point is that, like, sometimes we assume that the best looking people are the healthiest, and there's usually a lot of dysfunction with that. I have a friend who maybe I should connect you with, who works with a lot of women, and a lot of women from the nutritional side, and a lot of them have eating disorders. So that's, you know, not to get off topic, but I think people sometimes think they can't get really fit with functional training, which is ironic because, and here's where I'm going to bring everything together, is that bodybuilding used to be from what was called physical culture. So before, like, the 70s, most people saw fitness as a more well-rounded thing. The physical culture idea was that fitness and movement was a whole body thing. It was mental as well as physical, which sounds like a lot of yoga stuff nowadays. But my point is, they would do stuff like gymnastics and lots of different movement stuff. It wasn't till, you know, much later that we became this really hyper-focused, when gyms became more machine dominant because it's easier to get people in the door. You don't have to have the technique down, that we sort of lost that physical culture idea, which is really sad because it was a more well-rounded view of movement and fitness. And those people back then had very impressive physiques. So again, it's one of those things I want to, you know, emphasize, that a lot of people, I think, get a little apprehensive, like, if they don't feel that burn, if they don't feel that one particular muscle, they don't think they're working, which is antagonist to really what our bodies are looking for. And so, yeah, we've had a lot of, all the movements do a lot of the body. That's why, like, in our workouts, like, there's 4 to 6 exercises. People are like, just 4 to 6 exercises, and they do the workout, they're like, oh, I got it, yeah, I'm good. It could have been done like exercise number 3. Because when you do integrate more of the body, it's just a more efficient way of doing things. Yeah. And so you burn more calories, you stimulate more muscles, you get a better result. Because also, a lot of people, like, fitness is not their whole life. It's supposed to make, you know, a positive influence on their life. So they're not going to dedicate the same time, like, get up and do cardio for 2 hours and then train later in the day for an hour. And then, by the way, they're going to eat broccoli and, you know, brown rice and grilled chicken breast all day. So, you know. It's one of those things too. People want a healthier lifestyle, and this is a healthier way of doing it. And yeah, we had a research study done at University of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Basically, what they did is they looked at our ultimate sandbag and dumbbells with lunges, and it was the same weight held in the same position. So it was an interesting study because it was the first time basically scientists were looking at, do different tools stimulate different outcomes with the same load, same reps, everything. And so what they were finding was that the metabolic output, or the, you know, the intensity of the sandbag actually stimulated a higher metabolic rate and more muscles throughout the body. And some of that has to do with the compression and the unique way that the ultimate sandbag sits upon the body. And that's why we program that a little differently in how we teach people our movements.
This is so cool. And I think I have, like, the perfect question that we can, because I know we're hitting a wall, and at the end, I've got to let you go, but Here's one of my questions that I think is a good way for us to wrap up. There's almost two primary groups that listen to our podcast right now, and we're a new podcast, but we've got a lot of folks that are very beginners. You know, they're in corporate America, and they want to start getting healthy, and they're completely intimidated. You know, and a lot of people, we mentioned gyms, they think about a gym and they either think, understandably, a lot of gyms can be very expensive, whether it's a CrossFit place or a really nice gym. Some of those can be $100, $150 a month, whatever. They think of the price or they think of their time and they're like, wow, that's so intimidating. I can't get fit. I don't have time to go to the gym. And then I think of, so there's this beginner audience, right? The people that want to start working out, they want to get fit, and they think it's so intimidating. They think you have to be that bodybuilder or that fitness competitor or that marathon runner in order to get healthy. And they don't know that it can be so much more accessible, that they can start somewhere that's more accessible and easier for them to start and grow. And then two, we've got our fitness fanatics, people like me that have been working out for quite a while, but we want to learn. We want to say, okay, maybe I don't need to work out 2 hours a day. Maybe I could have a more effective way of training. I can do things differently, something that can get me outdoors more often. So my question for you, Josh, is this. When people are looking and they're going to go to ultimatesandbagtraining.com, that's your website. I'm going to ask you to make sure you point people in the right direction at the end. But if I'm going to go and I'm this newbie person who's just getting started, one of the things I want to focus on at Fitfluential is getting people to understand you don't have to have a gym to work out. So would you say that for those newbie folks, I would think so, that this is one of those, like, I think you could pick maybe 1 to 4 key pieces of equipment for a home gym, and you can do everything you need with that. And I think that obviously, I know that Ultimate Sandbag would be one of them. And then two, for people that have already been training, say they're into marathons, say they're at a CrossFit gym, say they're this or that, and they're hearing this interview and they're like, I'd like to simplify. I'd like to not be working out 2 hours at the gym. I'm tired of isolation training. I'm tired of chicken and broccoli, yada, yada, yada. Would you say, too, that for them to switch into or maybe segue into this type of training is going to be a really solid idea and inevitably could be better for them, where they can, you know, you get, you know, less is more, if that's it. So for those two audiences, how do you feel that what you guys offer with your training and your products that are designed for this kind of training are good for that?
Sure. You know, I mean, we always like to believe that we are, you know, practicing what we preach. So we actually, both my wife and I, train at home, and we could easily, like, we have friends and stuff that have gyms. We could easily, you know, hit their gyms. But, you know, my wife's, you know, and I both love the fact that, you know, in our house, we can get like just as good a workout, if not better than most gyms. And the fact we can do it on our schedule and what our time allows for. So there's just so much flexibility in what the bags go for. And we don't have just Ultimate Sandbags at our little home gym. We have some kettlebells and, you know, a TRX and so forth. But yeah. It is funny. I always tell people that the fewest pieces of equipment we have are probably our Ultimate Sandbags, because we know and our system set up so that you can do so much with so little. I always joke that we're like a terrible business, because we try to show people how they can do more with less, rather than trying to feed them more and more and more. So, you know, I think for a lot of beginners or people that are trying to get back into shape, that their big apprehension are a few things. One is that they're worried about getting hurt. So we try to put a ton of free resources together. So when anyone like gets our Ultimate Sandbag, they get a ton of resources, because I always say that we don't want people to buy our bags. We want them to use them. And yeah. So you're only going to use them if you feel confident in, like, what do I even do with this thing? Because people shouldn't feel bad, because we, you know, that's what we do now. We travel the world teaching fitness professionals, strength coaches, and therapists basically how to do this. But, you know, it's something that's super user friendly at home if you can just grab a couple key concepts, which are pretty simple to do. So if people take advantage of the resources that are available to them, you know, we always tell them, you know, start with 2 to 4 exercises, start 2 to 3 days a week. And, you know, you're going to sort of get snake bitten, because you're just going to love, like, the impact. And to give you guys a more practical example, one of my favorite testimonials, even though we've done like elite military groups and pro athletes, is a gentleman that happened to contact us, and he had a rare form of autism. And he basically was concerned because he was like falling down the stairs at home. He was falling in the shower. He was like 100 pounds overweight. And fortunately, my wife, being a physical therapist, was able to walk through with him like some ways to put together simple workouts. And I think, you know, sometime later, you know, he gave us an update. He was like, I'm no longer afraid of falling in the shower. I'm not, you know, falling down my steps. I've lost like 75 pounds. He was looking good. So it's like, it's something that is really powerful. And, you know, that's why we're so adamant and passionate about people doing it, not just from, you know, I want to look better, but basically I want my life to be better. From the fitness professional side, you know, definitely. And we don't want people to feel like, I think sometimes people feel like if they add a new tool that they're going to get rid of what they like and what they, you know, have. And that's not what we're trying to do either. But it's just such an amazing compliment because there's just things you cannot do with other pieces of equipment that we do with Ultimate Sandbag. So if you are a big CrossFit enthusiast and you love the Olympic lifts and some other stuff, this will just make all that better. If you're someone who's just looking to have an alternative training modality, you know, in between days or that you have at home, it's something that you're going to find yourself going to the gym and gym less with just because there is so much you can do. And it's an enjoyable process because we're just not teaching how to work out harder. We're teaching to work out smarter. So, you know, for, I think any group, it becomes such a favorite tool because it just simplifies a lot of what they need from their time perspective and gives them focus upon what they should be doing in their training.
I'm going to be your like infomercial a little bit here, and you didn't ask me to do that, but I'm doing it anyway. When I think of, I've worked out from home for, I'm going to say 60 to 70% of my adult fitness life. So I've worked out from home a lot. I love working out at the gym, and sometimes I go through phases. I'm actually getting ready to join a gym up the street, but I'll probably do 50-50. I like to mix it up, and I encourage, so that's my first point. For everybody listening, I really encourage you, if you're that person that's already working out, I have really found that I'm seeing great results in my body as I branch out and try new things. I've always tended to stick with doing the same things over and over. I eat the same things over and over. And the more that I've tried to branch out into things that maybe don't appeal to me as much, I've really enjoyed it. And then I've realized, oh my God, you know, I'm really developing better core strength, whatnot. The other thing is, for those of you that want to work out at home, please realize that, you know, if you're just getting started, or maybe you're a gym rat and you're ready to like not spend that much time at the gym, and driving to the gym and getting back and forth is a pain. The thing that I love about developing a home gym is it's so simple. You don't need to have a squat rack. You don't need to have a huge monolith machine. I have been sharing this, and so many people in our community would say the same thing. I would, just what Josh said, a TRX in addition to an Ultimate Sandbag. You got to get an Ultimate Sandbag. Maybe add some ropes and a kettlebell. You've got a killer home gym system. And the great thing about those, with the exception of the kettlebell, you can take it with you when you travel. Because I'm looking on Josh's site too, and one of the things he has for the sandbags, because y'all know, if you look at my blog, I talk about what I pack in my suitcase. You can pack his sandbags and bring advanced water filler bags. So fill it up in your hotel room. That's so cool. So obviously, this has been really good, Josh. You know, one of the things we didn't get to talk about today that maybe I'll have you back on for a second show is working. Let's address people that have injury. You know, we get a lot of questions about that is, I've injured myself. However they injured themselves, how do I start training, and when can I start training, and what do I do to rehab myself? And then how do I take baby steps so I don't re-injure myself? Let's do a separate show on that, because I bet you have a lot to say on that area. And maybe we can have your wife on the show as well for some input. But I do want to thank you for being on the show. For everybody listening, I'm going to let Josh close and tell everybody where they can find you. Josh, where can they follow you? Where's the best place to look into if they're saying, you know, hey, I need my own Ultimate Sandbag training system? Where do they go? Where's the best place to find you?
Sure. Basically, our website is ultimatesandbagtraining.com. We pick the short URLs. And we're running a special now where, you know, people can get 25% off with Father's Day coming up. So there's a coupon code FATHER for people to use as well. Probably the biggest question people get is which size. So again, we have a chart there so you can look at. If you have questions, you can just drop us an email to the site. We're happy to answer all questions of what's best to start with. There's tons of resources there too. So you can get lost on our blog just looking at video after video. Or if you go on Facebook, we have a very protected group where a lot of our instructors with very different backgrounds show great ideas and concepts for different fitness goals. It's DVRT Fitness Group. So if people like to join on there and just sort of see what we do and ask questions and interact, it's a very safe place, and we're very happy to answer any questions possible.
Actually, I'm a member of that group, and you do. Josh is very, they're very engaging in social media. You know, there's some brands in fitness that they're like placeholder, and you know, you try to reach out to them, and it's like, it's just crickets. But Josh and his team, they're really fantastic, and they're very passionate and genuine about helping people get healthier and feel better. So Josh, honestly, you know, I love you, and I have mad respect for you and your organization and your products, and so excited we could have you on the show. For everybody listening, highly recommend you check that out. Great gift ideas. But if you're like me, you'll just go, oh, I'm shopping for Father's Day or whatever, and then I'm going to buy myself some. So, you know, I'm just going to encourage you, gift yourself, treat yourself as well, because you will absolutely love it. So thanks so much, Josh, for being on the show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. The show notes will be on fitfluentialradio.com, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.